Welcome, 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 everyone, to Politically Speaking. So, if this is your first time joining us today, welcome, and thank you guys for just tuning in, taking time out your day just to hear us share all of our thoughts and conversations, and not only that, just be part of it in whatever spectrum and capacity that you are on and hopping on today. My name is Erica Sampson. I have the lovely Emily Mayer and the lovely Kirsten Pruitt. And then we have a lot to unpack today. I was telling them briefly that even just covering the show notes, I had to stop myself because it was getting, like Kirsten said, long-winded. It was a lot of information, and I did not want to overload the viewers because we have a lot of not just opinions, but facts. Okay, people? Facts is a key word, okay? All we're not making it. None of this stuff up. This is stuff you can turn on your TV and receive, get on social media, get on Google. It is there. But instead of just hopping in to something heavy, how are you guys? How are you guys doing? How has this week been? Everyone good? Everyone?
I feel like you're saying don't get into heavy, but it was, you go ahead, Em.
No. Go ahead. You had something you were ready and prepared to say. Say it.
No, I was just going to say it has been a chaotic, busy week at work. We're just doing so much right now, which is good. And it's just going to be crazy next week because it's Nurses Week. So we're going to be doing something every single day. So that'll be interesting. I've got my office is jam-packed with all kinds of like goodies and giveaways and so walking into it looks like a nightmare, but I mean my second to last week of college, so that's good news.
Okay, girl. All right.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Look at that. Yeah. Good job, Kirsten. So I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
Also, I love that you got to throw in the nurses week. Mm-hmm. We always talk about Teacher Week. We don't talk about Nurses Week. Girl. Of course, we share the same week because they're both unsung heroes, but I'm glad you got that shout out in there.
Yeah, and I'm wearing my I Heart Nursing shirt.
I have multiple. Sorry, like the plug.
Yes, love it. Love it. I know it's been a minute since we've recorded. Spring break and illness and everything.
And like, oh my gosh. Like, this life.
And the world kept going. There's so much happening out there that it's just like, man, take a minute, take a breath, because you almost get whiplash trying to keep up with everything. So,
how are you doing, Em?
I'm okay. I'm tired. I'm almost 22 weeks pregnant, and this baby is beating me up. Well, I also have two little ones that I'm trying to chase around, so that definitely doesn't help. But I got into that like cleaning and nesting phase this week, and I just started like throwing so much stuff out. But then now I'm like, why does my body hurt? And I'm like, oh, maybe because I was like doing things that I don't normally do, like I'm on the floor organizing socks. Like, what are we doing here?
So, I hear you, girl. Love it.
That's it. How are you, E?
Yeah.
Girl, how am I? I say that every day when I'm brushing my teeth. I look at a mirror like, today's going to be a good day. Okay, Erica, today we're not going to yell at anyone. We're going to be at 10 and 2 when we drive. We're not going to honk the horn.
Oh, the bar is low. The bar is low.
Really struggle.
Exactly. I try to build myself up so that when I walk out that door, I'm like, all right, this is it. We're going live. But, yeah.
How did everybody enjoy the ice cream cake?
Yes, ice cream cake was good. Yes, it was good. The presentation was but the mixture.
Well, you didn't fix it.
I took the top off. So if anybody is listening, I had got my son an ice cream cake for his birthday. However, the penmanship of the letters was a little
lacking. It left a lot to be desired.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So I sent a picture to the group like, what is this? What is this? And then I was telling them I didn't ask them to redo it because I peeped the person who actually did the handwriting. I was like, nah, I don't need to redo this. I already peeped the seating. Yay, go get fixed. But nonetheless, it still tasted good. It was bussing, as my son would say.
I was telling my mom about it. And she was like, well, why didn't Erica ask them to remake it? And I was like, well, she said the person wouldn't have done it.
Best we were going to get.
Like,
exactly. It was like, show me the real you. All right, I see it. I got it. We ain't getting much better. The standards is already there. It's okay. It's okay.
What matters is how it tastes.
Exactly. Yeah. It's tomato, tomato. But okay, let's go ahead and get started. So I want to open up, as we always do, with something light and fun and walking down memory lane before we get into the heavy of the conversation. So we're going to start out, if you're watching this today, what is today, Thursday? So when this airs, it will be landing on Teachers Appreciation Week, correct? I feel like that's how we were tailoring it. Okay, so by the time you are listening to this, it's going to tailor on Teachers Appreciation Week. So we just want to open up with some personal stories of any type of teachers that have resonated with us and, you know, let that type of impact. I always point to the ladies. I'll start first and then I'll pass it over to Em and then Kirsten. So for me, the only teacher that I can think about, well, I thought about two teachers, but the first teacher, I was like, that one don't count, because that first teacher, look, that teacher was bad. Listen here. And you know what? He wasn't even a teacher. He was like, when you got in trouble, you had to go sit in at what class? I don't know what his title was, but Hatia. Okay, I was, when they were sitting, they would just point, oh, you want me to go that way? Okay, say less.
Okay. My God.
What grade was this?
I feel like he was like the PE teacher or assistant.
I feel like people be acting out on purpose to go sit in that. Oh, Lord.
Okay, I don't know what he taught, but known that was there was a class that I went to it. You said what, Kirsten?
They should have known that was a bad decision. But what grade was that?
Yeah, was that in high school, middle school? When was
it
that?
It was in high school. That's what I said. He did. I don't even know what he was. I just know whenever you got in trouble, you had to go sit in that class and like think about your actions.
Was that in school suspension?
I feel like, is that what it's called? It probably was. I was going to say it was like after school.
No, that's detention.
The detention? Listen, girl. Listen, that's how you know I was not supposed to be in that class. I was like in it for all the wrong reasons. But outside of him, the one teacher that really just resonated and filled my cup was actually my music teacher. Her name is Miss Williams. If you are watching this, Miss Williams, just know it's like right now. I love you so, Miss Williams. And like I said, she was a music teacher, but it was more than just the music. You know what I'm saying? It was just her just, how's your day? You know, how's things at home? Like, you know, how's school? You know, just conversations like that had nothing to do with music. But it was just her coming up to me and just checking in, doing a pulse check. And then if I saw her in the hallway, she would be like, Erica! And I was like, Miss Williams! You know? So I just absolutely love Miss Williams.
What grade was that?
This was middle school.
Okay.
This was middle school, and I was in her. I did chorus, well, music, but then I got selected for like extra. I don't know if it was states type of music or something like that. I didn't really pay attention to it, but because she has selected me, I was like, okay, I'll do it. Listen, I'll do whatever you say. I'll go do it. You know, so it was like that. She just did that to me, and I just absolutely love me some Miss Williams. So again, Miss Williams, if you're watching this, I'm definitely giving you the biggest shout out ever. All right,
I'm sure my teacher is not tuning into this. But that's okay. He still deserves all the flowers anyway. My high school history teacher, Steve McIntyre.
I knew that's who you were going to pick.
I talked about him in the last episode about my freshman year of high school and this project we had to do. So that was in ninth grade. And then as I progressed through high school, he taught certain AP classes. And so I was in a program where I had to have a certain amount of AP classes before I graduated. And I took extra AP classes just so I could continue to have him as a teacher. So I had him 3 out of 4 years in high school, and I was a teacher's assistant. So my senior year, I had basically all my graduation requirements done. So I had a hole in my schedule. And so I was allowed to, you know, pick a teacher to go help out. And so obviously I picked him. But so Mac was an older dude, but he was just like, now looking back now, it was probably the most prepared for college that I could have been because of a teacher like him. He was super like, here's an outline of notes. Anything additional you want to add, go ahead and add it. And that's either going to be to your benefit or to your detriment when it comes time for the test. But to your point, Erica, about Miss Williams, like, he just, like, cared. Like, he knew things that were going on in my life. He would check in. We had a group of us who, our cafeteria was chaos, and we had his class split during lunchtime. So we, like, started his class, went to lunch, came back to his class. And so we would just, like, stay and eat lunch and just, like, chat with him and get to know him. And he was so chill. And I just, like, tried to emulate as much as I could from him when I taught, because he always wanted to encourage us to talk through our thoughts. And he would ask questions that were thought-provoking, but he never made you feel as if he was forcing his opinion on you, which I always really respected. Like, you never knew where he stood on an issue. He was just guiding you through, okay, well, you've thought about this part of it, but what about this part of it? And I think that's really helped me in, like, who I am today and what I do today. And so when I was in college, he was getting ready to retire. And, you know, college lets out before public school lets out. So I was already back home from college. And so I popped in and audited his final class. Like, I was, like, such a Mac fan. Like, that man, if he went on to go be on the moon, I would be there, like, with signs cheering him on. Like, we were just each other's biggest cheerleaders. When I was having a bad day, like, when there was drama in my life, he knew. He'd be like, go put your head down in the back. I'm not worried about you catching up. Like, you got this. Like, he made me care about school in a way that no other teacher ever did. And now I'm like, what are you doing now, buddy? He loved fishing. I'm like, I hope you fish a lot in retirement. I hope, like, I just hope you're doing all of the good things in the world. So that's the easiest question for me, who my favorite teacher was. I mean, who chooses to take extra AP classes just to be the same teacher?
Not me.
Right. All right, Ms. Kirsten, your turn.
Okay, so I have two. My first one is my third grade teacher, Mrs. Nugent. We were her first class out of college. And so that was really special. And I was always, like, very much like the teacher's pet and, like, just, like, people pleaser. I felt like she was the first one that kind of, like, appreciated that. I don't know.
Totally.
Gave me, like, opportunity. She wasn't annoyed by me. And so that was amazing. And she just, like, was just, like, the nicest person ever. And, when I graduated high school for our high school graduation, they asked us, like, if we wanted to, like, if we'd gone all the way through, from, like, kindergarten to 12th grade within the school district, we could invite one of our former teachers to be an honored guest at graduation. Aww. And so I invited her, and so did several other people from my class.
Wow.
And she came, and brought us all a card, and it was just really sweet.
I loved.
So I just love, like, we're Facebook friends, and so I still get to see everything she's doing, but, yeah, she was wonderful. And then, my high school civics teacher, and then I had him for AP government my senior year. Or could have been junior year. I don't know. Either way, I think it was junior year because when I started driving. But he really got me interested in politics and government, and, like, really, like, boring stuff, like the Constitution and, like, the branches of government. It was very entertaining, and just, like, really motivated us to get involved. And so that was, he was great. And, he was just funny. And, I remember, like, when we first started getting cell phones, and he got a cell phone, and he was probably in his, like, 60s, and he was trying to figure out how to put a ringtone on his phone, and he wanted, Should Have Been a Cowboy by Toby Keith. And, I helped him do it, and, like, every time I'd see him in the hallway, he'd flip his phone up and, like, play the song, and it was just so cute. But he was wonderful, Mr. Rayburn. And yeah, so that those
are, oh, that was cool. Those are my two.
Is something that all three of us kind of said is that these are teachers who were relatable, right? Like they weren't just like standing up and teaching us and like an authority figure, right? Like not that they were trying to be cool. I think they were just like genuinely comfortable with who they were and like not afraid to show that to their students. And I think like that is what stands out to us now, however many years later. The ones who were like super strict and super robotic are not the ones that came out of our mouths. Like those, that's so interesting. Oh, love it.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think kids, you know, need somebody to listen and care. And even if you have a good home life, you still want that person at school who's going to show interest.
Yeah. And kids can tell what's authentic and what's not.
Sure.
I had a teacher, poor guy, he had like a lisp issue. And so when he would bring in the monitor, you had to like plug in and it show, I don't know what it's called, but it would show.
Projector? Like
that thing. He would roll that thing in and poor guy, every time he talked, it is sprinkled on the projector. So as we're in the classroom watching, you know, the math assignment as he's trying to break it down.
Of course he was a math teacher. Of course he was.
You would see like little droplets on the like, ooh, and then the ink would start like running down. Yes.
Oh my God, stop.
And this is like what, 6th, 7th grade? So you know at that age, you know, you just gotta we say the thoughts out loud. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We ain't got no self control. It was just like,
bless that man.
Okay, teachers don't get paid enough, man. They don't get paid enough. They need salary like ASAP.
Well, that's one way to put it.
All right, go ahead, Ev. Did you have a question?
Follow up.
Yes.
Because it's going to relate to the topic that we talk about in the next section. So I want to work on a little segue here. When do you remember the first time you had either a black teacher or a male teacher? It could have been a white male or a black woman, or it could have been a black man. Like what grade was that for you in your educational experience?
I did not have many growing up, but I will say that I had a black principal, but it took like me getting to 7th, 8th grade, you know, I didn't have it like first, second, third. It took like middle school, almost me reaching high school before I saw like someone black in that type of role, you know, as an educator and stuff like that. And then it was like the layers of, I guess, him being black. He had the fro, like the one you pick out and he had that, and he was stocky, and it was like he carried just like he just had an aura about it. Again, Mr. James, shout out to Mr. James. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us. But I definitely remember Mr. James. He's just personality. That was just the first time I remember he would pull me to the side and just talk to me in passing. He did that to everybody, whoever came by him, and that was just his character. And it definitely means like a lot in hindsight now, reflecting and, you know, just thinking about him and talking about him. And he was just such good people.
Yeah. Kirsten, what about you?
So I had a lot of male teachers starting in 4th grade. But then I don't recall having a black teacher until I went to college.
Mm.
Like,
and you were right outside Detroit.
Yes, but I was in the affluent suburb. And even like when I think about like the entire like school, I don't remember there being any black teachers there. But that was also, like, there were only, like, maybe 10 black kids in high school. In elementary school, it was like one.
Wow.
And then middle school, it was like two or three.
Wow.
And then high school, it kind of jumped up to maybe 10.
But. No. I grew up in Prince George's County public schools. And for those of you not familiar, Prince George's County is like one of the most diverse school districts and counties. Like, I don't know anywhere, but like certainly in the state of Maryland. So I had my first black female teacher in third grade. And then I had my first male teacher who was a white man in sixth grade math. But then I didn't have my first black male teacher until freshman year of high school, English. And he had his doctorate and he was from another country. And it was just like, I always felt like he was way too smart to be teaching freshman English.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people like heard his accent and like automatically were like, this is not going to work out. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I was in school with so many people from so many different backgrounds, a lot of first generation, a lot of Nigerian families, a lot of like just a lot of everything. And so, yeah, certainly by high school, there was a lot more diversity in our faculty. Middle school, too, there were a lot of black women. There weren't very many white men and there certainly weren't very many black men. But there was definitely more diversity in middle school than there was in my elementary school. I remember when I had that male teacher for sixth grade math, I was like, guys are allowed to teach? Like, I had never seen a male teacher before. Like, it never dawned on me that that was even a thing. So thank you for indulging me in that, because it will all come back around when we get to our next section.
Speaking of next section, so today for the briefing room, we are going to unpack DEI. We're going to talk about it. We're going to unpack it. We're going to, again, share facts. You know, we're going to share opinions. But again, I want to make sure that we're sharing facts. These are not things that we are making up. These are things that clearly America and these constituents have voted for, because this is what is happening in live time. So we're going to break it up into two parts. So I'm going to hand it over to Em to talk about local DEI initiatives, or what's going on, I should say. And when I say local, we're all residents of South Carolina. So the next segment is pretty much going to be about South Carolina, anything related to South Carolina. And then I will talk about outside of South Carolina, what is going on. All right, Em, let's go ahead and get started, girl.
All right. So I want to be super clear. I'm going to try not to say DEI, because I feel like they want us to just like throw it in an acronym and like not actually talk about what it means. But diversity, equity, and inclusion, when you say it out loud and then you say to people, well, like, what part of that do you have a problem with? Like, nobody wants to answer that question. So I'm going to try to be very intentional about that during this section. Just wanted to name that out of the jump. But so, by the time this airs, we will have 3 legislative days left of the 2025 South Carolina General Assembly session. But it's the first year of a 2-year cycle. And so what that means is that any bill that hasn't been passed yet can get picked up right where it left off this year when they come back in January. And that's important because there was a bill filed, and I didn't write down the bill number, but I probably should have. I think it's 3927 for those of you who like to look up those things. That is a state entity ban on diversity, equity, and inclusion practices. And initially, there was a lot of conversation about paring the bill back. It had some really harsh language at the jump. And after hearing testimony, they amended it to try to temper it back. It went from like, we called it, it was a bag of poop on fire, and then it just became a bag of poop after the amendments. So it still was terrible, but it wasn't nearly as terrible as it could have been. And then we saw in the budget in between this time, an attempt to put a diversity, equity, and inclusion ban in the state budget. And Representative Annie McDaniel, who leads the Legislative Black Caucus, stood up and gave the speech about, you know, the impact. She called for a tabling of the amendment. And then there were some conversations that happened behind the scenes, and they removed that amendment. But then the very next week, they started back on the actual bill. So they were like, that's fine. We don't have to sneak it into the budget. We'll just work on this bill. So I want to ask you guys first, because this has clearly been a theme. This is not just a South Carolina thing. What are your thoughts generally, broadly, about this bigger attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion practices? Not just in schools, we're seeing it in higher education, we're seeing it in government, we're seeing it in military and leadership, law offices, businesses. So generally speaking, I'll start with Kirsten. What is kind of like your overall feeling about this effort?
So that's a big question.
It is a big question.
grappling with that. I think it's, to me, it's one type of person looking to make the entire country that type of way. So like white male, or maybe a female, but if you're a female, then you don't have any rights. You better be married to a white male. And Christian, conservative, and anything, they want to create an other to somebody to attack. Because if we can direct your attention to this terrible other, then people aren't going to look at the real threat. And I mean, that's a historical thing that you see has happened throughout the world. And so, that othering, making people feel afraid or threatened by somebody who's different than them. Start with that.
I didn't think that DEI was such a big deal until people made it a big deal. Like, I feel like I wake up, I go to work, I come back, and it's like, I'm in my own bubble of routine, and it isn't until I get on social media or turn the TV on, and then I'm like hearing all this stuff about how people feel about DEI. But I feel like when you put those words in a sentence, diversity, equity, inclusion, what is the issue? Like, what is the problem? I feel like diversity, break it down, and inclusion, like, hello, people, like, what? Why would you be offended or even have something to take time out your day to talk down about it? I feel like I'm in awe that we're even, like, going so far left and so upset about how it's being used, and it's like, it's just crazy. And then only that, I did not realize how broad that it was being used, you know, until people got so offended and they were like, no, take that away. No, take this away. And I'm like, I didn't know that was being applied there. Like the ramps for wheelchairs, I didn't know that was like, I was like, oh, see, like, who was like, why are we bothering the people who need ramps and stuff? I'm like, it's just crazy that people are got to the point where they're just nitpicking. I don't really feel like there is an issue. They're just making an issue. And that's my thing about the whole topic.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
Like, to distract you, like, it's not a big issue, but let's turn it into a big issue so that we can distract you from something else.
It's totally a boogeyman. It's like they took Black Lives Matter and turned it into something. They took critical race theory and turned it into something, right? And like, this is just now the latest thing. And I mean, white women statistically benefit the most from diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. I mean, statistically across the board, regardless of where you live, how much money you make, what area of study you go into as a profession, white women have gained the most out of these initiatives. So I find it really interesting, because when I'm listening to these conservative legislators talk about banning diversity, equity, and inclusion practices, they keep saying, well, we want to make sure that the people with the best merit are getting the job. Well, I don't think anybody's arguing that we want the person best suited for the job to get the job. I think the argument is just that for so long, they were saying, well, based on the color of your skin, based on your gender, you automatically have lower merit. And so we're not even going to consider accepting you. And so it just feels so disingenuous to hear them talk about it needs to be a meritocracy and we only want the best. Well, yes, that's what we all want, but we have to have guardrails in place because we've seen historically what happens when we don't have those, right? It's the year 2025, women still make, I think it's like 81 cents on the dollar. That gets lower based on if you're Black or Hispanic or Asian, right? It's just like, it's a whole thing that I'm just like, I really can't even believe we're having these conversations. But so when we're talking about the bill that's moving at the State House, not only is it impacting K through 12 public schools and higher ed, it's also impacting all government entities, any state entity that gets government money. So that could be like Department of Health, Department of Social Services. It could be even like the State General Assembly as a whole. And to go one step further, the bill says you cannot enter third-party contracts with companies who have DEI initiatives in their mission statements, right? So about all of those programs that are now at risk, right? Mm-hmm. Like Scholastic Book Fair is a K through 12, you know, thing that they have a DEI initiative. So, I mean, come on. Higher ed, it's like, okay, every guest speaker that's going to come to campus, we have to make sure that like they like don't like it, like the, it goes so far. When you even think about state government contracts, all of the State House stuff streams through Microsoft, Microsoft Teams. Microsoft has a DEI initiative. They would have to change all of their software. But to what? Apple also has a DEI initiative. Like, what is your other option here? The state banks through Bank of America. Bank of America has a DEI initiative, right? So these are like, this is like wanting to take one thing that is a very small, if even exists, problem and like blow it out of proportion in a way that is just like so mind boggling. It doesn't even make sense in a time where, and I think when we talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, our minds automatically go to education. In a time where there are so many issues facing our education system, it's like, is this really what we should be spending our time on? And so I looked at the numbers, and to start this school year, our state had 1,034 teacher vacancies to start the year, which is lower than it was the year before, but I could go on a whole diatribe about, it doesn't actually mean there's, we filled more vacancies. We just like removed extra positions. There are more kids per class. I could go on and on about that because I think the number is misleading, but we still had over 1,000 teacher vacancies to start this school year. So as we are looking at ways to improve public education that have nothing to do with this boogeyman, diversity, equity, and inclusion stuff, what are some general things? Y'all know public schools. What are some general things that come to mind? You don't have to be an expert to know what some things could be that we could be doing to benefit public education. So, Erica, what are, just real quick off the top of your head, what are like two or three things that are not related to diversity, equity, inclusion that we should be focusing our time on if we want to improve public schools?
School meals. How we're
Have you seen what the children are eating nowadays? I would never. Oh my gosh. Like it is terrible.
I just feel like there's other things that, like you said, we should be focusing on with the school. And even just like, I would say something little, but just the bus system. I feel like is that's like a whole nother conversation. Mm-hmm. We need more bus drivers. We need more like even when the kids get on the buses are overloaded, packed because there's not enough drivers and stuff like that. So I just feel like there's other things that we should be like focusing on. And then now when you go to school, there's school detectors or metal detectors, and it's like,
what? Like, what? Now they're locking the doors on the schools, and it's like, it's just crazy. And there's just so many other things that we could be like focusing on. And I just feel like half of these people that have all these issues with it, they can't even spell DEI. Like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like they can't even spell it. Like, get out of my face.
Or they can't tell you what it stands for.
Exactly. Like, if you don't, get out of my face. Like, that's just my
correct. Correct. Kirsten, go ahead.
I mean, more recess time for kids. And how I had another one, and why did it slip my mind?
More after-school programs, or just school programs in general. Mm. Like, tutoring. Like, oh my gosh. Like, we, again, teachers don't get paid enough, but the math is so different from when I grew up. And it's like, that's why I feel like there needs to, and then poor, all the kids that grew up, well, grew up during the COVID time, they're still delayed because of that gap. And it's like, we got to bring in more sources to like help them be, you know, get back on speed and stuff like that.
We're ranked like in the like, I don't even know what the number is anymore, but it was like last time I had seen it, it was South Carolina's public education was 48th in the nation. And I don't know if it's still at that, but I'm sure it's, you know, plus or minus, but that is abysmal. And coming from Michigan.
You said we're 48?
At 48 out of 50? Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if that's still the number, but I'm sure if it did improve, it would have been much.
It's definitely still in the 40s. We definitely have a lot of room for improvement.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember, but 48 out of 50, that sounds about realistic.
And like, that sounds about only behind like Mississippi and like, you know, I mean, it's horrific. Horrendous. Like when I found that out after I moved here, I was just like horrified. Like,
right,
how is this happening and how are we okay with this?
Right. That's why Canada ain't trying to be the 51st state. They're like, nah, we good.
Yeah. We're all right.
We got time now. We gonna stay right over here. Ain't nobody trying to be y'all 51st state.
When Trump keeps saying that he wants to like send education back to the states and dismantle the federal Department of Education, I want to be like, well, we already have a State Department of Education that oversees all of these things. And that's why we have these rankings where you have like Massachusetts all the way up here doing all of the things. And you have us all the way down here not doing any of the things.
Nothing.
But this is what we're spending our time on. And so while they were debating this bill in the House, a lot of our Black legislators took the well and told very personal stories about their experiences growing up in South Carolina as Black men, Black boys, and, you know, what they wish they could have seen and experienced versus what the reality was, and how much, even though we have so much further to go, how far we've come and how much of a step backwards this is. And you could just feel how personal it was for these folks. And in the Republican Party, there is one Black woman. She's a freshman this year. She's brand new to the body. And she stood up and she basically like rejected everything that Jermaine Johnson, John King, Justin Bamberg, all them said. And she was just like, that wasn't my experience. So that's not happening. And she was just very dismissive of these very personal stories that our legislators were sharing. And they all were like, well, that's great if that wasn't your experience. Yeah. Like, we don't want that to be anybody's experience. That's the whole point, right? And what we've seen when our state passes bills similar in nature is that there's an overcompliance because there's fear of what happens if someone takes what they're doing and construes it as diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? So even though the leadership has said, oh, well, this won't impact Black History Month programming. Oh, this won't impact your ability, you know, down here in Beaufort County, the Gullah Geechee culture is huge. This won't impact your field trip to go to the Gullah Geechee Heritage Center or Penn Center or any of these things. They said that, but what I fear and what we've seen in the past on other issues is that there's now going to be an overcompliance by public schools because they don't want to risk either losing state funding or being sued by the state for not following this program. So that's the fear, because like I said, this bill goes so far as to talk about third-party contracts. I mean, if I was a school administrator, I would just be like, I'm not contracting with anybody because, I mean, how are you supposed to cover your butt from that? Like, I don't even know. They have so many other things to... Correct. You got so many other things to worry about. You got that one wild parent out there who's going to call up and be like, well, I Googled them and this is what I... Like, no, not doing it. We're just not going to have any of those programs to save everybody the headache. That's what I foresee happening.
And I think that's really
Yes. And I, you know, and it's a shame that that's where we're at, but like these administrators are already under such a microscope and doing what they can to protect their teachers. Like, it's just, it's a mess. It's a whole mess. So that bill passed the House and then it was sent over to the Senate. The Senate has not touched it. It seems as if the Senate has no appetite for it, which is really interesting because the Senate still has a supermajority of Republicans. They still have over two-thirds of their body as Republicans, but they're saying this is not something that needs to be a priority. This is not something we want to take our time doing. So what does that signal to you that even in a conservative state where the supermajority of members in both chambers are Republicans, that our Senate is saying this might be a bridge too far? Like, does that give you hope? Does that give you like, what is your general thought when you're hearing that?
I feel like because I'm a realist and not really like a optimist type of person, that I need to see it to believe it. You know what I'm saying? I feel you may feel bad, but I need you to feel bad and sign your name on this dotted line. You know, show me that you feel bad. I need to see you actually vote for this so that I know you actually mean that feeling instead of just all talk. Because we saw how it was when the stimulus came out. No one wanted to be a part of it. But then as soon as it came out, everyone's a part of it. You know, everyone, this is a good idea. That. You know, everyone want to, you know, get their shine. It was like, whoa, you wasn't shooting with me in the gym. Like, hold on, you know, pause. So I feel like it does not give me motivation because I just know how South Carolina, I can't speak for any other state, but I just know how South Carolina has this repetitive pattern of just disappointing me. So I feel like until they actually like do something with that feeling, then I'm just going to, you know, sit on the side and be like, well, is this South Carolina? Like, oh my gosh.
And like, I think for me, like you are like, in some instances, you are seeing blowback to rejection of, like, banning DEI practices. Like, I mean, you look at Target and how their sales have decreased since they eliminated DEI. And Costco sales have gone up because they stood their ground. So I think maybe on some level, the Senate could be like, you know, we've chosen some pretty polarizing topics to go after already. Like, we don't really care that much about this one, you know? Like, this one isn't worth the blowback that we could potentially get from this. Like, we'd rather get blowback on abortion or other truly heinous things they're doing. So, I mean, I don't know. That's just something that came to me, whether that's true or not. Who knows? But
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, like, if the federal government is going to do it for them, like, why do they need to be the bad guy? They can let somebody else be the bad guy. But when the House passed this bill, the House Republican Caucus, like, put out this statement that was like, we are the first state in the nation to pass the Trump DEI ban. And I was like, do you hear yourself right now? Like,
brag about that.
How are you proud of that?
You look goofy.
And they were so proud of it. And it's just that's where we're at. But like, if that's going to be a federal mission of this administration, and I'm the Senate, and I'm one of the maybe I'm seen as one of the more moderate people, even though politically I might need to take votes that don't necessarily align with me to save my seat. You might be like, nope, we're not. If Trump and his team want to do this, let them do it. And we don't have to be the bad guys on this one. We can be the bad guys on all the other things. So I'll be curious to see if in this 2-year cycle, if when January comes back around, if the Senate still has that same type of attitude or if they shift. But I guess that's a lot of time between now and then to see what the federal government's going to do. So, Erica, you know, I've been trying to keep up with what's happening at the federal level, but there is so much happening on a daily basis, and my brain can only take in so much information. I'm sure that I'm missing some. So can you give us a quick rundown of what we've missed at the federal level regarding diversity, equity, and inclusion?
Absolutely. So I'm going to share some notes real quick that I pulled. And again, by all means, I encourage everyone to fact check me on this because I want you to do the research. Mm-hmm. I want you to get involved. I want it to stir you to want to make sure, is what she's saying true? Like, is that real? So I encourage everyone, whatever you hear tonight on this show, definitely take time to go and do the research yourself. So some things that I do want to highlight that the current DEI changes by the Trump administration that they have implemented. So starting with that Trump has made some executive orders, one, to close all DEI offices and place government workers in those spaces on paid leave. I'm unsure if anybody heard about how all these people were like out of work. Well, not out of work, but they just wasn't in the office. But they had to make a decision between either receiving a payout or just going ahead and putting in their 2-week notice. And then, you know, I'm wishing them the best of luck. Like it's just crazy. And some other things that I do want to run through, and I am going to run through for the sake of time, because I want to make sure that we do our last segment. But Trump has also canceled current and impending contracts focused on DEI. Of course, this was in collaboration with Elon Musk, because he was at the time overseeing the Department of Government Efficiency, better known as DOGE, which is the weirdest title.
Don't even get me started.
Right, like, how did y'all come up with this name? You know what I'm saying?
they thought it was cool. That 19-year-old guy probably came up with it.
That douchebag.
And that's why we're just going to call it Doge. Like, okay, it's okay. Let's just call it Doge. So he has canceled any current and any pending. Let me say that again. Anything current with DEI, anything that we're like, oh, maybe we could, maybe we should. No, he like, nah, you're not doing that. So let's just go ahead and wrap it up. So he has canceled that. He has also eliminated Biden's administration policy that prioritized DEI hiring. So Biden had already implemented his own on his first day. He has signed into order what's called the Advancing Racial Equity and Support for Underserved Communities through the federal government. He signed that on his first day. And you know who took that away? Trump. He went ahead and removed that. So that was another thing. So let's see what else. There's more. So the president has also ended DEI across the federal government, prompting cancellations of such programs across private sectors. So when you go and try to do, like Em said, these stores and stuff like that, that are implementing the DEI, that is because they're piggyback off of what Trump is trying to create these initiatives. So they're having to follow suit. And I wanted to share some of these places because I saw some
places
I shopped at, and I was like, no. So some of the places, private sectors that have changed or ended their DEI practices: United Health Group, MLB, Victoria's Secret, Warner Brothers, Discovery, Goldman and Sachs, Paramount, Bank of America, Pepsi, JP Morgan, Coca-Cola, PBS, Google, Disney, PayPal, Chipotle, Walmart, Target. These are just some of the
I just places. Had Chipotle tonight. Dang it.
I had Chipotle yesterday. Like, what is going on?
And I was just watching Paramount Plus tonight. So good time.
I watch Paramount Plus every day. Damn, what's that? It's going to leave us with nothing left.
That's why I said, and I was like, Disney. Like, how is Disney on this list? Like, Disney is all about DEI.
Well, they've been attacked a lot by Ron DeSantis, and they're like, yeah, we can't really take any more Republicans.
Well, remember, they made a black Ariel, and that was, that was too much for people to handle.
That was too much, right. But I was like, oh my gosh, just looking at this list. All right, there's more, y'all. There's more. So, President Trump, executive order titled ending illegal discrimination and restoring the merit-based opportunity. He has rescinded affirmative action. He says, who needs that? We don't need that. So that's gone.
Yes, but if you're a legacy, you're still allowed in. Doesn't matter if you're merit. Yeah, if your granddaddy went to Harvard,
the fine print. Yeah. So, but the crazy thing is that the executive order, it does not disclose what is considered like an illegal DEI program and stuff like that. So it's like, how can you ban something, but you're not exactly explaining the why? Like, why are you banning that? Like, what makes this bad? You know what I'm saying? So there isn't anything in the fine print that says like why we're banning it. It just says it's gone.
Of course.
It's gone. Bye-bye. That's basically what it is. And so as of right now, it's just listed as preferences. They're like saying if you have a preference for that person or if you're trying to get a workforce balance, like we need more women, we need more Black people, we need more Asian Americans and stuff. So he's like, if you say if you have a preference, illegal. If you're trying to get some type of workforce balance, illegal. And it's like, oh my gosh, like this is just wild. There's another part I did want to highlight. I told y'all I had a long list. I had to try to tell myself, all right, Erica, that's enough. That's enough. But these are some holidays that he is even banning and putting a pause on because it still celebrates DEI. So some things that you may be familiar with that is now on a pause. Martin Luther King Day, Black History Month.
I paid for that day.
You said, go ahead.
I get paid for that day. So not anymore.
So I'll
still be celebrating.
Right. So he says he is putting on a pause. Holocaust Remembrance Day, Women's History Month, LGBTQ Pride Month, Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, Juneteenth, Women's Equality Day, National Hispanic Heritage Day, National Disability Employment Awareness Month, National American Indian Heritage Month. These are all 11 holidays that are on a pause.
We can't celebrate anybody anymore.
I'm sure Columbus Day is now only Columbus Day and not Indigenous
People's Day. And he was talking about that recently. Yeah. He was like giving that man praise. It was like, let's bring it back. And I've always thought it was weird that Columbus Day is on the same day as, what holiday was it? Native American Day or something?
It's like, that's on purpose.
But it's just that's on like, purpose. But why do we even have Columbus Day? It's like, that's a whole nother podcast. You know what I'm saying? That's a whole nother episode for another episode. But these are holidays that he has put on pause because, I guess in his mind, it is still a DEI-like topic. And that's the thing where we keep saying, like, none of us are thinking about this until it actually, like, comes forefront. Because we're like, what? Like, what's happening? Hey, like, what?
Guess what holiday South Carolina still celebrates? Confederate Memorial Day.
And tell the people that are listening what that is to our state. Isn't it like the people that celebrate or that fought in the war to keep slavery?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was about to say.
They fought for the South.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So
people who died defending the right to have slaves,
uh-huh.
yes,
in the Civil War, are being honored on this Confederate Memorial Day,
and we still have that in 2025. Like that is still a holiday. That is still a remembrance day.
A state holiday.
It's like legit holiday.
Mm-hmm. And my friend, her husband, he didn't have to go to work on that day. And I've totally forgotten about that day until she says something. She was like, yeah, he's at home. And I said, he's at home. For what? She was like, because that funky holiday. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot about that holiday. And the fact that people get to get off work for it. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, my mom's off every year and gets paid.
It's ridiculous. Going back to something Kirsten said earlier when we started talking about the diversity, equity, and inclusion ban and like pointing the light over to somebody else, like, stopping these holidays or these recognition months or whatever they are is just a way to like try to stop people from being educated about some of these topics because the less educated people are, the more easy it is for them to take their agenda and just run with it, right? Like, if people start asking, well, like, why do we have to have a women's pay equity day? Oh, because women still get paid less than men. Oh, well, that doesn't seem right. And start having this dialogue. They don't want you to have that dialogue. They don't want you to use those critical thinking skills. And you're just seeing that on full display. They want people to be as dumb as possible.
True. Right. And I feel like it's just crazy that we have that. What is it called? Confederacy Day? But then we got to go to work. But we got to go to work still for some of the other holidays that I mentioned. So it's like, how do we have that off? But then we got to go to work for like all the other stuff that we should be reflecting on and being at home and kicking up. It's just mind blowing. And then the last one I did want to highlight, some of you may have been in the loop about what he's doing with the education system and just trying to implement colleges, trying to take their funding away and stuff like that. And if you take the funding away, like, who does that benefit, though? You know what I'm saying? Like, it benefits nobody. It's helping nobody. It's like, it's deterring people from, like, even seeking further education. And college is not for everybody. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you're already deterring them from even trying or even attempting. But, yeah, he is now trying to even have control on our education, how we even, like, learn and grow. But it's another thing where it's like, yeah, you could get the education, but it's going to look like this. It's going to look like this curriculum, this.
One interesting thing I read tonight about, like, the higher education system and, you know, Trump trying to take away diversity, like, in hiring and diversity in recruiting students. But he does want diversity in their thinking. So, you know, most colleges tend to have a more liberal, their professors are more liberal. So now Trump is like, wants these auditors to come in and make sure that they have different viewpoints. So like, not only would you have liberal professors, you also need to have conservative ones. So it's like, let's have diversity of ideological thought, but not diversity of people's backgrounds.
And see, that's why I think it's so interesting that he is like trying to dismantle the federal Department of Education, because you would think somebody who loves control the way that he does would only want a federal Department of Education. Mm-hmm. Because when he says give it back to the states, you're going to have states like California who are going to teach all of the history. And then you're going to have states like South Carolina who are going to have Confederate Memorial Day and teach kids about that holiday, right? So it's like, if you just want to make sure that everybody's teaching the way you want them to learn, why are you dismantling the federal Department of Education? Like, it doesn't even make sense logically.
Mm-hmm. No, Trump just looks like he just looks like a DEI. He just looks very divert. His hairline, like, it's like, it's confused. It's not including. It's very diverse. Like, he just looks like, that's why he's bad. Yeah, exactly. That's why he's just upset. Oh, but that is my soapbox. I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to M soon because we are coming to an end. But this is my favorite part of the podcast. All right, it's time for Two Truths and a Lie. All right, M, I'm ready.
All right, very good. I want to figure out what order I want to put them in to like try to trick y'all, mm-hmm. but I don't think it really matters. Okay, number one, in 5 hours of testimony at the State House on the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion bill, not a single person showed up to say that they thought that this ban would be a good thing. So 5 hours of testimony, it was like between 80 and 100 people, not one of them said, we need to pass this. Two, Donald Trump personally called House leadership to ensure that this bill passed. And three, the fiscal impact of this diversity, equity, and inclusion ban is estimated to be in the billions with a B of dollars.
I really hope that the first one is a lie. You said 5 hours and no one spoke up?
Nobody said that they wanted the ban.
Nobody said that they wanted the ban.
correct. That it was necessary and good.
I feel like that is the lie. Because I could see Trump reaching out to House leadership and being like, but then I also think he might not have even had to reach out to them because they might have already been on board. So that,
I think it's the first one, right? Because I heard that I feel like Trump is so dictatorship. He needs control. So I could definitely see him calling someone. I can't see him just sitting and being patient. Because I saw that. I feel like he called Jeff Bezos or something the other day about something with Amazon, comparing the prices. You know, keeping it real. I'm thinking, and then I feel like the last one is the truth, only because you mentioned numbers. Right. I feel like everything that we're doing has consequences, and it's always tailored to some kind of billion number, something million number, and something. So I feel like it's the first one. What about you, Kristen? And don't be picking my answer because I done broke it down and helped you out.
Listen,
Kristen,
you are currently leading her. So if you go with the same answer as her. I know.
Because I want to say number two is the lie that Donald Trump called House leadership, because I just feel like he wouldn't have to call them. That's the only reason I think. So I'm going to go with that one, but I'm nervous.
You're going with the Trump one as your lie?
Yeah.
And Erica, you're going with the 5 hours of testimony as your lie? Okay. Drum roll. Kirsten got another point on the board.
Yeah, so that is how you do it. No.
That's it. 5 hours of testimony, like 80 to 100 people. Nobody said, hey, I think this bill is a good idea. The reason that number two is a lie is that Trump personally did not reach out. Somebody from his team, allegedly, I'm going to use allegedly. I wasn't in the room where it happened. But the day that they were debating this bill, Nancy Mace was present in the House gallery. And after this message was relayed was when it went from just the pile of poop back to the poop on fire that it originally was. The message was that the just the poop version did not go far enough to please the president, and it needed to be in the way that it was originally introduced. So yes.
I don't know why we have to be the first person to pass this. Out of all the states, why it got to be us that, you know, like, we already, like, so backwards as it is. And then the fact that we, like, that's why can't we be the first? You're right. Why can't we be the first in, like, education? Like, the first in housing affordability? Like, why we got to be the first to, like,
been controlled by Republicans for so long?
Listen, we were the first state to secede from the Union. And we are still on that same path. It has not changed in 150, however many years it's been. It's still the same.
And you know these people don't want to change their thinking, unfortunately.
No, they get so mad when we come down here with our liberal thinking, trying to change South Carolina to be like the place where we left it.
To be better.
I'm not trying to change it to be like New Jersey. I just think that there are... Like, New Jersey doesn't do things perfectly, and if I loved New Jersey, I would have stayed in New Jersey. But, like, there are some common sense things that we are missing.
Right. Right. Many. Clock it. That's right. Missing it.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. This whole thing. I mean, even, like, when the plane started crashing, they were saying, like, it was because they had women pilots and DEI stand for and didn't earn it. I'm like, I'm so over these people and their nonsense. I can't.
Yeah, that really made me mad. I'm like, no, the people that are in the air traffic control towers, like, the amount of training they go through, or, like, even before the training to be selected, like, because I looked into it because I thought, like, it might be a good job for my husband. Like, try to find careers for him. I looked into it and I was like, oh my gosh, like, you have to be a certain age. Like, there's all these things, and it's really hard. So there's no way you could say that, because if you aren't smart enough to make it through the training, you're not going to make it through the training. So even if you got accepted for DEI reasons, you're not going to make it through the training and you won't be in the tower. So
exactly. Long story short.
The whole thing's ridiculous. So stay tuned. We'll revisit this one in the future.
Yes. And speaking of stay tuned, thank you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in today. Hopefully you catch us again on episode 5. Don't forget to check us out on our social handles. Make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend. We are we're going outside. So we got lots more to talk about. And again, thank you for tuning in. Politically speaking. Have a good night. Thank you, ladies.
Bye.
This is Kirsten Pruitt. Please subscribe to the show wherever you find podcasts and consider leaving us a rating. You can find links to our social media and YouTube page in the show notes. Thanks again for listening.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by its host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2025, all rights reserved.